Big Z Sports, your home for high school football.
Welcome into the Big Z Sports Weekly Podcast. As always, we are brought to you by DAC Vitamins and Minerals and Hartzler's Quality Housing. I'm Nick McWilliams, joined by Adam Sawesky. We're your crew for today. Should be an exciting one. You know, we always have so much good things to talk about.
Right? Oh, absolutely. And it's funny how sports gives us many things to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to try to keep this one a little bit shorter today. Very busy day around the office, as it always seems to work out.
Yes.
So we're going to jump right in first with a recap of week six, just a brief recap of week six of the high school football season. I've got some NFL stuff I want to talk about. I'm sure you do, with some Steelers stuff as well. A few things for Major League Baseball. You know, not any teams from around here that we're really paying attention to, but still interesting. Postseason baseball is great baseball, in my opinion. After that, I want to talk a little bit about the NHL. That season is now back, too. Some good news for some teams that are close to here, some not so good news for some other ones, and that one new segment that I like to bring, the dumb sports headlines that I like to dig for. This one's a little more prominent than the last one I brought, but we'll kick it off first with the week six recap. As we know, our Sarshon Ford play-by-play game of the week featured Ridgewood at Indian Valley. Final score did not exactly tell you that this game was close, but it was pretty well contested throughout. Quarterback Gabe Tingle was our Michael Taylor All-State Insurance Agency Good Hands Player of the Week for leading the Generals against a big win against the Braves.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Nick, we were actually, as I was covering the Philly game, I was keeping an eye on that game because obviously, you know, that was a big one in the area. And most of the game, it was 15-6, and then it got to 15-9. And I had several people, you know, a few days later talk about, wow, I can't believe how Ridgewood just dominated that game. I said, you could look at it that way, basically, from what I saw from the fourth quarter on. Mm-hmm. But it was a few big plays. I said, but for the most part, that game was close the whole game. And I actually heard part of Coach Slusser's interview afterward, too, and he said the same thing. He goes, don't let that score fool you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, 15-6 at halftime, Indian Valley was still very much into it. The whole sequence that ended up making the big difference was that 4th-and-20 fake punt that Ridgewood ended up converting, followed up by a 43-yard pass from Tingle, and, you know, that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't think Indian Valley ever gave up, but things got a little rough for them late. Regardless of that, Ridgewood still holding on to their number one ranking in Division 5, Region 19, rightfully so. They've been dominant all year and have a chance to solidify that even more with Garaway coming up this Friday, which we will also have Sarshon Ford play-by-play game of the week as well. We will also be at Amici's Pizza on location Wednesday to talk to the Ridgewood Generals in West Lafayette, of course. Indian Valley now ranked number 2 in Division 4, Region 15. Still plenty of positive things for this team moving forward. Jumping straight into the next game, the one that you were at, New Philadelphia, playing host to West Toronto Prep. As when you called in, there wasn't a whole lot of things to talk about from this game, really. You know, Quakers almost seemed to put it on cruise control a bit, but it's kind of hard to say they put it on cruise control considering they limited West Toronto to 74 yards of total offense.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This was one of those games that, I walked up to Coach Dennison afterward, and I said, well, you're 6-0. I said, that's got to feel good. I said, sorry, I don't have a whole lot more to say with this game. And, you know, he did allude to the fact that, you know, they by no means played a perfect game, especially in the first half. But I'll tell you what, it was nice to see the running game really, really went well for the Quakers. Reese Meekin having, I think it was 174 yards.
74, 79.
Yeah, on 15 carries, 3 touchdowns. And, you know, one thing Coach Dennison did allude to was the secondary that West Toronto Prep had. They were very quick, and it showed. I mean, whenever the Quakers were trying to throw the ball down the field, they weren't getting that separation that they normally do.
Yeah, there was the one touchdown pass for Barron May to Austin Cole, which was a great shot of that. If you haven't seen that, go to our Facebook page and find it. You know, it was a very good route by Austin, way to get separation. But I could kind of tell from that play, it's a very quick defense, but
yeah. How
do you counteract that in the secondary? Run the ball, and that's exactly what they did. Interesting test for them coming up next for New Philadelphia, even though they sit at 6-0. Play Ellet at home. That could be a very interesting game. Ellet is a team that is constantly near the top and constantly provides a pretty good challenge. And New Philadelphia still ranked number 1 in D3 region. That's Region 9. Oh, man, I can't read my own writing. That's good. yeah, that's a very tough region, and the fact that they are still at the top kind of paints the picture on how good this team is this year. Speaking of another Division 3, Region 9 team, Dover fell to Steubenville 42-20. They are ranked 10th in D3 Region 9. Not a good game for the Tornadoes in any way you look at it. Gave up over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground to star Steubenville running back Tavion Crawford. Aiden Hall with an uncharacteristic 4 interceptions. And Dover right now, I think their playoff hopes could already be hanging on by a thread at this point.
Yeah, I know that there was one play in that game that I've heard happen was you hear about the in the NFL and in college where the running backs get out front and they're getting ready to go over the goal line. And they put the ball out, mm-hmm. and they just drop it. Well, I think Tavion Crawford, I'm hearing, did that. Mm. So he was actually basically had another touchdown. Mm-hmm. But because of what he did, Dover was actually able to pick that up. And I think they returned it, pretty good distance back in their direction.
I just do not understand why that's a thing. Like, why... If I were running with the ball, I'd want to make sure, truthfully, I would. If I were a coach, I'd probably tell my players, hey, you can drop the ball when you want. Make sure you're on the other side of the end zone when you do it. Exactly. You run all the way through that line, then you can drop it. I just don't understand why we keep seeing this at every level of football. I don't know if it's an early celebration thing. You're not proving anything. You're not doing anything. So please, if you play football or you coach football, or you're involved with it, don't let this happen. It's just annoying at this point.
Yeah.
As I said, the playoff hopes not looking great for Dover at this point. Are ranked 10th, so they are not by any means all the way out of it at this point.
That region is loaded with teams that are, they're obviously, Marlington, they haven't lost since Philly played them, and they've bounced. They've put themselves right back into the 8 spot, and once they get an NBC play, they typically win that conference. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, that sets up, looking way too far ahead now, that sets up a real interesting matchup depending on what Dover does the rest of the year with that Philly game.
Oh, if
Philly stays undefeated and Dover is inching towards the playoffs, you want to talk about an incredible atmosphere there.
And that it probably will come down to that. It very well could be.
And Dover from here on out will now be playing St. Francis, a New York team, a chance for a bounce back a little bit. Should help the Tornadoes out a bit. I'm sure they'll be looking to improve upon what really was not a very good overall performance. Claymont and Garaway playing host in that one. They are ranked 2 in Division 5, Region 17, rightfully so. Claymont is not does not have any points at this point because they have gone winless to this point. Some positive things again for quarterback Caden Prassetti for the Mustangs. But, if I talk to you about Claymont football with Eric Henry, you're thinking a stout rushing attack, and that simply did not happen in this game. I think they might have actually had, including the sacks on Prassetti, negative yards in the rush game, something you don't see from Claymont, which is a testament to how good Garaway actually is. On top of that, Garrett Newsom, once again, just dynamic as always.
Yeah, it seems to be it's a week in and week out, trend for him. Which it leads us right into this Friday's game. I mean, what a showdown that's going to be with Garrett Newsom and Tingle down in Ridgewood.
Yeah, I think I ruffled some feathers, though, because on Friday night I said, and this is just my opinion, this is not saying that this is correct, but with dynamic playmaking ability and what he means to his team, I kind of almost want to say that maybe Garrett Newsom has the edge on Gabe Tingle just a little bit like that.
Wow, that is bold, but that's an opinion.
It is. So we will see how, if I'm right. I'm not saying one team should be favored over the other. I'm just saying, in my opinion, with what I've seen from both quarterbacks, but all joking aside, both quarterbacks, phenomenal players, phenomenal student athletes, and I'm sure they are going to have quite the showdown coming up this Friday. As for Claymont, they have Tuskegee Valley next, 1-5 Tuskegee Valley. Not going to be an easy test once again. This final closing stretch for Claymont sitting at 0-6, it's not an easy one. So we'll see what the Mustangs can establish here for the rest of the season. Buckeye Trail shuts out Strasburg 37-0. The Tigers are ranked 12th in Division 7, Region 25. The thing that's the crazy stat that I have for you from this, the Tigers have now lost 3 straight in that span. You have any guess, without looking at my sheet, you have any guess how much they've been outscored by in those 3 weeks?
I can't read your writing, but
neither can I.
With 37 being there, I'm going to say, I know that because I know, unfortunately, they've been on the bottom half of some big scores. I'm going to say it's got to be over 100.
120 to 13 has been the scoring differential. They scored 13 in the week prior, but have been shut out twice now. Just a very rough go for them. The rushing attack has disappeared last week for Strasburg, which when you're talking about Strasburg football and saying a rushing attack disappearing, that is a scary, scary thing.
Yeah.
Indian Valley, when they faced Buckeye Trail this year, Coach Lancaster talked about the physicality and the size of Buckeye Trail, and maybe that was kind of what got the better of the Tigers up against the Warriors. Regardless for them, I'm sure that Coach Curtis Metzger has some tricks up his sleeve on how to maybe motivate his defense and his offensive line just a little bit more, kind of open up some more holes for Lucas Lindsay, as we know that he has the ability to change a game, and he has that big pop play ability. It's just getting him out into space is the key. Up next for the Tigers will be Sandy Valley, which is not going to be an easy one by any measure of anything, really. The Cardinals are playing some extremely inspired football, and actually I'm going to skip on to them because, you know, just brought up Sandy Valley. Why not?
Yeah.
Sandy Valley ranked 8, so they're on the cusp of the playoffs right now. D5, Region 17. And as for their opponent last Friday in the Tuscarawas Central Catholic Saints, they're 7-7, Region 25. But what a shutout the Cardinals pitched, 49-0 over the Saints. Cam Blair having a big game, Brendan Obradovich having another big game as well. You want to talk about limiting a passing attack. I think the Saints, who are, you know, as a pass-first offense as mm-hmm. you get, I think starting quarterback Alex Price was picked off 3 times. Backup was picked off one time, too, and they had 80 yards passing. Sandy Valley played some incredibly inspired football.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think Sandy Valley's, you know, after that game 2 weeks ago when they traveled down to Kelly Field and took the loss,
mm-hmm.
you know that Coach Gamble has got them inspired to make sure that they don't have a hiccup the rest of the way through the season, and I don't know that it's going to matter who they play next.
Yeah, I don't know, because that was the point I made, is where they're sitting in the playoffs, you can't really afford to lose again, which is really a shame considering how good this team is.
Yeah.
And now you got to avoid playing tight, because you're going to be so worried about, you know, what could possibly happen if you do lose, but that can't cross your mind. You just have to focus on what's in front of you. Doubling back now after we went to that Sandy Valley game, Newcomerstown picks up their 4th win of the season over Tuskegee Valley, 35-28. Some dramatics in that game. Tuskegee Valley is ranked 23rd in D6, Region 21. Wow, my writing is so bad. Newcomerstown in the same division and region are ranked 15th, which kind of a shame considering how good this team's been. They're still kind of clawing and fighting and looking for some more points, which I'll be talking about how they can get said points here coming up very soon. Newcomerstown, you know, they could be playing. They almost look like they're a team that's destined to play spoiler, much like some other teams that we know in the past have done. Tuskegee Valley did that with Garaway a little while back.
Mm-hmm.
Garaway didn't really do that for Ridgewood because Ridgewood still went to the playoffs, but still regular season loss. Newcomerstown, you know, for as good as they did in this game, and another good game by Wyatt Connor, Gavin Little, Gavin Weaver, the names that we've said all year long, how about Tuskegee Valley's connection between quarterback Tanner Phillips and wide receiver Tristan Tesh? Tesh set a single game record for Tuskegee Valley in receiving yards, 226 yards, and all 3 touchdowns from Phillips went to Tesh. Could be something to build on for Tuskegee Valley sitting at 1-5.
Yeah, I would say so, but the other side to that coin is, you know, that all the opposing teams coming in from this point forward are going to do what they can to take him away from the game plan. But when you have 2 athletes like that, a lot of times, especially at the high school level, you can try to do whatever you mm-hmm. want to do, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah, and you know, that could be something that potentially does become a problem for the Trojans sitting at 1-5. I'm sure they can get back on track. Coach Greg Dickerhoff getting his first win this season with the team. But there's definitely some things you got to look at into why you have lost 5 to this point.
Yep.
Looking at Carrollton and West Branch, Carrollton shut out again, 28-0. West Branch picks up the win, as, of course, Carrollton no points in their division and region yet without a win. Carrollton had the ball within the West Branch 20-yard line 4 times and came away with no points. That right there is probably your biggest red flag as to what happened in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't get into the red zone 4 times and get nothing. I mean,
a la Cleveland Browns, you know.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You go in 4 times, you got to get 2 scores. Mm-hmm. Minimum, bare mm-hmm. minimum, you have to get 2 scores. But when you get 0, unfortunately, that's reflects the amount of points they had in the game, which was zero.
Yeah, it's just a rough go for them. Austin Coletti is piecing some things together at the quarterback position, but it's been a rough go for the Warriors in terms of their defense is on the field a lot and is trying to, you know, I don't want to say survive. That sounds bad. But, you know, it's easy to get gassed when you're on the field so much. And just it's weird. Just things have not worked, just not come together for Carrollton. So we'll see what happens from here on out, see if they can make any changes. West Holmes falls to Worcester 33-21. In that one, the Knights are ranked 16th in Division 3, Region 10. West Holmes is scrappy can get in terms of, we know, we've talked about it so many times, we've talked it to death at this point of all the injuries that West Holmes has had, but continue to fight and continue to have that mantra that's put on them by Coach Zach Gardner. Just in this one, I think the simplest way to put it is just some poorly timed turnovers and a lot of team youth showed at the improper times for the Knights.
Here's the thing, whenever you're going to play West Holmes with Coach Gardner out there, you know, teams coming in could say, oh, wow, you know, these guys, they're pretty dinged up. This guy's out, this guy's out, and this. It's not going to matter.
No.
Coach Gardner's going to have whatever guys are on the field for him, he's going to get 110% effort. Mm-hmm. And you're not, it doesn't matter what type of season West Holmes is having, you're going to get their best. I mean, it's not going to, you're never going to go into West Holmes or take on West Holmes and get that easy victory. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think Worcester found that out, who are 3-3 this season, were a playoff team last year, could break into that again. And I think they did get a great challenge from West Holmes, but quarterback Noah Clark, he's a sophomore. He's piecing some more things together. Senior running back Hayden Baker had that monster game before this and now had an okay game against Worcester. I'm sure they'll be leaning on them heavily throughout the rest of the year. Connaughton Valley, we're adding them in. We have not talked about them up to this point, and that is on us. We apologize for that for Rockets fans. They fell to Caldwell 27-6. Connaughton Valley tied at 21st in Division 7, Region 25. Great game by Braden Caldwell. Boy, I can't read. 193 yards and a touchdown. Just not enough, unfortunately, for the rest of them. The Redskins had 4 rushing touchdowns. It was a very physical outing, as you expect from a Caldwell football team. But Connaughton Valley, looking at the rest of their schedule, some good things. I think they can still finish out this season strong. They are sitting at 2-4.
Well, the nice thing is here, yes, you know, they're sitting at 2-4, and they did take this loss. But the nice thing, this will show the coaching staff, hey, obviously we got to shore up our run defense, because you don't want to let this one, you know, let Caldwell start a trend where the next several teams you play, the same thing is going to happen. So you know what? Focus your attention on that run defense, get it better, and come out and get a victory this week.
I think a lot of times with the rush defense, it has a lot of just instilling just this week. It's like, hey, you know what's coming. You know they're going to pound it up the middle at you.
Yep.
Just be ready for that and have that grit that you need to have, because battling in the trenches is not exactly the most fun part of football, but when you're playing those positions, I'm sure it is for you, maybe.
Yeah.
Just a quick rundown of our big games outside Big Z Sports that we had. Ellett picks up the win over Lutheran East to move to 4-2, 27-20. They won in that one. Sets up a very interesting game with New Philadelphia now coming up. Lake falls at McKinley. Canton McKinley now 5-1, Lake 4-2. How about this one? Lake scores in the closing seconds to make it 20-19, but being at an away stadium, they decide, let's go for 2. Did not work out for them. Failed the 2-point conversion and fall in the closing seconds of a game. That's brutal, but I tend to agree with that decision to go for 2 away from home.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it makes complete sense.
Perry Panthers now 5-1 this year. Boy, they are on a roll after losing to Jackson. They win 35-28 over Hoover, who falls to 3-3. Zanesville, a team that's going to be in this discussion here for the next couple weeks, playing both Dover and Philly, win again 38-30 over Mount Vernon. They move to 5-1 this season. Quarterback, I know I've mentioned him before, Ben Everson, is tough. That's the only way I can really describe him. So that'll be an interesting test for both New Philadelphia and Dover. It could be some big major playoff points for Dover if they get a win there. Could be a potential scary game for New Philadelphia, but whenever you are undefeated at this point in the year, you've got a target.
And I know the nice thing for Quaker fans is Zanesville does travel to New Philly in week 9, mm-hmm. where for the Tornado fans, they actually have to go to Zanesville next week. Anytime you're traveling, again, you know, especially even though the league's not that, but you know, the league's not huge anymore, but it's a big league game. home field usually has a little bit to do with it.
Yeah, I've been at a game, a Zanesville home game, and I tell you what, they're a rowdy crowd, especially you've got a team that's clicking as well as the Blue Devils are to this point. All right, shifting it straight into NFL news now that we've got through Week 6, which took a little longer than I expected. We just can't stop talking. NFL news, I want to start off with the Steelers, and the first things first is, I'm sure you can imagine, that hit on Mason Rudolph from Earl Thomas. Your take, was that a dirty hit? Was that a clean hit?
Well, I'll tell you what. It was one of those things. It was just, honestly, it was a wrong place at the wrong time hit is the way I viewed it. Yes, it was. I mean, with the chances of, both of them were pretty much upright. Mm-hmm. He hit him under the helmet in the neck.
Right on the jawline.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't even know if the speed that they play, mm-hmm. I don't know if they tried to do that. They could even try to do it. I mean, that's just trying to hit a very little target at full speed. So that's what I mean. I just think it was a wrong place, wrong time. And the nice thing is, and I was shocked because I'm sitting there thinking, man, our second string quarterback's out. Now we're going into a third, and his name's slipping.
Delvin Hodges.
Delvin Hodges.
Samford.
I mean, he looked more comfortable than Rudolph has the last mm-hmm. couple of weeks.
Well, when you got that adrenaline rush going through your veins as you come in, and it's like, oh, I was drafted in the, seventh round, I think, and oh, I guess I'm coming in at a crucial time in an NFL game. The first time I'm ever throwing a ball, but he did look very good. So that's the next kind of segues. And you know, for that, before I get to that Mason Rudolph hit, I don't think that was dirty by Earl Thomas. I think with, as you mentioned, the speed of the game. Earl kind of led high with his helmet, but I don't think there was any malice behind
no.
it. And it was just unfortunate. It was one of those things where, you know what, if he gets that hit again, and he might be fine. He might not. He'd probably go down pretty hard, but he might not get knocked out, because I think it was worse with him falling and hitting his head off the turf, which is just a brutal thing to watch.
And the thing is, I mean, rightfully so, they got the personal foul call mm-hmm. for hitting at the head, mm-hmm. which is what was deserved. Mm-hmm. But other than that, no, I don't think that there was anything else intended on that hit. It was just he was going to hit him in the head, but you know what? He missed his head. He hit him in the neck.
Yeah, which sounds so much worse somehow. It does. Yeah, I don't know how. But Delvin Hodges from here on out, probably that's kind of what Pittsburgh has alluded to. They are going to have to get someone from the practice squad, from free agency, something. So I think there might be some trades coming up here with Pittsburgh just to get somebody. But I know there are a couple free agent targets that they could go after.
I'm sure they can find somebody, because there always seems to be quarterbacks out and about that don't have a home.
Yeah, there will be somebody. I mean, look at Josh McCown. He got picked up by the Eagles. I can't believe that. Okay. Just one final thing with the Steelers. Any realistic expectations from here on out? Sitting at 1-5, you've lost your best quarterback. You've lost your second best quarterback. Your defense has played pretty well, but there's a lot of holes with this team, because James Conner has not exactly run the ball as well as I'd expected him to. Offensive line has looked shoddy at times, and there are still breakdowns in the secondary on defense.
From the run game perspective, here's my thoughts on that. Everybody knows, for one, Roethlisberger's out. You got a rookie quarterback.
I hadn't heard, and I didn't know.
You got a quarterback that even with Rudolph and Hodges, it doesn't matter at this point which one's in. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to force them to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. So they're going to try to take the run away, which obviously is going to make Connor look a little bit worse.
True.
So, really, but the expectations, okay, funny thing. I just want you to think about this mm-hmm. for a second. That roughing the passer call that should not have happened late in the fourth quarter, when they tackled Lamar Jackson
yes.
on the legs, wrapped him like you're supposed to, and they called the personal foul. That doesn't happen. Does Baltimore score? If Baltimore doesn't score, Pittsburgh wins the game. They're mm-hmm. 2-3. Baltimore's 2-3.
Cleveland's now 2-3.
Here's my question. Does a 500 or even below 500 team win the AFC North this year?
You know, I actually was thinking about that today, because no one, in my opinion, in the AFC North, which we'll get to the rest of them, has looked good by any means.
No.
Baltimore rolled over a couple teams that were terrible to start the year, and everyone thought that this was it. And then the Browns forced four turnovers or something. Yeah. And then the Steelers, who are depleted at quarterback, who have been having struggles this year, almost get a win. The one thing I will say about that Jackson hit, I how low was that on him?
It was literally, I mean, it was a form tackle. He
Well, no, I understand that, but where on his legs?
It was like right, I would say just below his thigh, more in the knee area.
It was
all arm. It wasn't pads.
Right.
That's the thing.
True, but you remember when Tom Brady got tackled like that and tore his ACL and everything's been changed since then.
They may just want to put flags all over the quarterback and just pull one. And
hey, professional flag football has some intensity behind it. I don't care what you say. Anyway, moving on to the Bengals now. Won't say much about them. 29th in points scored per game and 27th in points allowed. When do you start the fire sale and possibly trade off AJ Green? I know those talks have been there. He has to be healthy first, naturally.
Last week.
Last week. You had me worried. Like, did that actually happen?
No, they're going to have to. It's going to have to be time. I mean, it really is. Because, you know, you got Joe Mixon. He's a young running back. Mm-hmm. That's something to build off of.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton.
Tyler Boyd at wide receiver.
Young receiver. Andy Dalton. Okay, so here's that question. Do you keep, you know, what is he, the red rifle?
Red rifle, Red Rider BB gun, something like that.
You know, okay, so they've had the teams. Unfortunately, when they had the teams, they didn't have the coach.
They played don't lose ball, which is not, you can't do that.
And it's just, I mean, that whole situation, I think, just needs to, they just need to wash it all clean and start over.
That wouldn't be a bad idea, in my opinion, either. Up next, they're three before their bye week. The Baltimore Ravens, Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Los Angeles Rams. Oh my, they might still not have a win going into their bye week. That looks pretty rough.
Yeah, that is rough.
And on to the Browns, you'll notice my little sad face that I typed onto my notes because I was talking to one of our sales team members, Josh, about this game yesterday before when he came in and before I left. And he said, so are you happy to see the Browns tonight? And I said, I give it a 10 to 13 point spread. And he goes, oh, for the Browns winning? That's pretty good. And I said, no, the San Francisco winning. Because the 49ers are for real. In my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
The Browns, on the other hand, I'm not one of the people who's going to immediately say, hit the panic button, this team is terrible. But there are key parts of this team that are terrible at this point. Offensive line is a joke to this point in the year, in my opinion. Baker Mayfield, even when he does get time to pass, has looked the complete opposite of last year. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you need to shut down Baker or end that experiment because Cleveland has done that too many times. But first of all, you need to address that on the field. You need to address your offensive line woes. A couple of plays started this game that were, I mean, it was just that kind of night where you're going to pinpoint plays been like, wow, that was monumentally bad. I mean, you start off a great play with a trick play with Odell Beckham Jr. lobbing it downfield to Jarvis Landry. Great play. You go backwards, I think, in your next three plays, and then you allow an 83-yard run. You know what? There was a play that happened that I think summarized this kind of, I guess you call it like the Keystone Cops kind of play. Mayfield was rolling out, and Jarvis Landry Jr. tripped over each other in the red zone, and he airmailed a pass over Antonio Callaway's head. And I've just sat there and thought, and I said, that's a perfect summary of this game.
It sure is. And actually, the one where Callaway, the ball he did throw, he missed it. The ball was falling to the ground.
He swatted it back up.
He taps it to try to catch it again, which then turns into another interception, and they return it I don't know how many yards. But I was like, that's another telltale of how that game was going last night.
What I saw was a team that was not prepared again, which has happened in basically all three losses. They haven't looked prepared at all for some reason. And I also saw a team that doesn't believe in fighting adversity because I don't think they didn't know that in the offseason, which is very uncharted territory for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And for a first-year head coach to come in and not hear anything about that, that's something else. So Freddie Kitchens, in my opinion, is safe no matter what happens the rest of this year. But I don't know. This team might actually struggle, in my opinion, right now to get past making sure that you still have only single-digit losses. Truthfully, in my opinion. Yeah. So we'll see, though, after this stretch, because next they have the Seahawks and then a bye and then the Patriots. And after that, the schedule kind of eases down a bit. You know, you've got Miami, you've got Cincinnati, I think you've got Buffalo.
There's Pittsburgh twice at the end of the year, knows where the Steelers are going to be sitting. But I'll tell you what, the Niners proved last night, if you have a good defense and a run game, you can take care of the Browns.
Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, is good at football. Imagine that. Nick Bosa ran circles around Myles Garrett in terms of skill last night. But credit to Kyle Shanahan. That's how your scheme worked out. When you run the ball and you run it away from Garrett, There's nothing he can do. He's a pass rusher. He can play run defense, but not that great. So hats off to Kyle Shanahan, and the 49ers look great. The Browns look bad. Simply put, don't panic yet, though, Browns fans. Things look bad, but you need to start moving some pieces around.
And again, I'll reference the AFC North. Nobody wants it, so you're still fine.
Even Baltimore, the best team in the AFC North, still doesn't look that great. Moving on from the NFL, because I turned the game off going into the fourth quarter, and I never do that. That tells you something. Looking at some Major League Baseball now, some playoff news. Houston and Tampa Bay in the ALDS. Astros looking to get the edge in that one, put Justin Verlander on the mound. Guy's a machine, should be an interesting matchup with the Rays, a team that beat out the Indians for the wild card spot, so I wouldn't want to play Houston, so hats off to them if they can do it. I mean, the fact that it's tied 2-2 right now.
Yeah,
so
I saw the Rays. I think they won 10-3 in the last game.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. So maybe they'll make a run, and maybe I won't feel so bad about not making the playoffs. Cardinals and Braves in the NLDS. It's entertaining so far, 2-2. Yadier Molina with a walk-off to tie that series back up. Playoff baseball, well, postseason baseball, you can call it playoff baseball. Man, is it ever entertaining. On top of that, you also have the Nationals, who are hanging with the Dodgers at 2-2, and I did not see that one coming.
No, I don't think anybody did, but I'll tell you what, the Nationals, I think from the All-Star break forward, are one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Absolutely, and the Dodgers maybe are kind of in a similar, I'm not going to compare them, their teams playing so far, but maybe they're kind of in a similar boat as Cleveland. You bought into your hype a little bit too much. Yankees sweep the Twins. I'm not really surprised. I thought Minnesota was a fantastic team, but I think that also kind of gives you a little bit of a feeling what the AL Central was like. Cleveland and Minnesota might have taken advantage of a bit of a week.
I'll tell you what, though, something to chew on, though, is if the Rays can somehow knock off the Astros, who's the one team that's given the Yankees trouble this year?
Very true.
The Rays.
Very true. You never know. Yep. All right, and looking at some hockey news, because the NHL's back, and I tell you what, if I would have said 5 years ago you would have brought that up, I've been like, yippee, but I've really grown to love hockey. It's just, I know I mentioned that the last podcast, but Blue Jackets get their first win of the year. They're now 1-2. They beat the Buffalo Sabres 4-3 in overtime. What about you? I asked this to Chris Kale. Are you a Penguins fan?
I don't, to be honest, I don't really watch hockey, but I'll tell you what, and I was told this many years ago by somebody. They said, it's one of those sports that you're going to think it's dumb until you understand the rules.
And then everything once you makes so much sense.
Yeah, once you understand the rules, you'll see why everybody loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe it's one of those things, if I could ever find time, maybe I would try to understand the rules of the game, then try to watch it and see if I can.
I'll tell you this. Don't try to watch it at home. Go to a game and watch it, and then you'll love it. so looking at I'll talk about some Penguins news then. Some interesting news for the Penguins to start off the year. Both Nick Bjugstad and Evgeny Malkin are on injured reserve, two high-quality players. Malkin, naturally, one of their better players on the team, maybe behind Sidney Crosby, and sometimes even better than Sidney Crosby, in my opinion. Pittsburgh, that's going to be interesting to see what happens, because they are out indefinitely. Hockey loves to give that, so we'll see what happens. It's early in the year. You're fine. There's plenty of games, but something to look at. And looking now at my new little thing I like to do, the dumb sports headlines. This one is a little more advertised, but Vontaze Burfict, as we are all aware, it's a great lead-in, right?
Yes.
His agent tweeted out after watching this week of the NFL, there was a hit on Kyle Juszczyk that the Browns had that was kind of high and knocked him out of the game. There were some other ones. Vontaze Burfict's agent tweeted saying that there was an unfair standard after seeing some of the high hits and not seeing any discipline on those players. The funny thing is I don't think he factored in the fact that his player has lost $5.3 million in fines and suspensions, including performance-enhancing substances, since entering the league.
Yeah, I was going to say, that situation is a little different than anybody, because it's been ongoing for, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing, is like you're talking about setting a standard. Well, I kind of joked and said, I guess Burfict sets the gold standard for hitting dirty and losing money. So there you go.
Yes.
There's your standard being established. just interesting. I mean, I know you got to fight for your guy, but come on, man.
Yeah.
I kind of hope he doesn't get kicked out of the league forever, but because I'm never going to be one who wants to see a guy's livelihood disappear, but something's got to change.
It's one of those things where if you don't learn from your mistakes the first 20 times, you're not going to have the opportunity to learn anymore.
Yeah,
especially honestly, at this point in the year. That's kind of where he's at.
Well, and yeah, just the concerning thing for me was that smile he had jogging off the field and waving, knowing. Yeah. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for our Big Z Sports Weekly podcast. As always, remember, we are brought to you by DAC Vitamins and Minerals and Hartzler's Quality Housing. If you want the stay up to date with all the local sports news, be sure to find us on Facebook, stream us online at WTUZ.com, and find us on Twitter at @big_zsports. And I think we've got a plug coming for something else, Adam?
No, actually, one more thing I wanted to mention in the podcast, and I slipped my mind. Congratulations to the New Philadelphia Quaker ladies golf team.
Yes.
Claimed their second straight district championship. Mm. So the team will be advancing to state next weekend in Columbus. So good luck, girls. Hopefully the good shooting continues.
Yeah, we will definitely try to keep track of that then, because great job, Lady Quakers. That's pretty impressive.
Two times
in a row. So good luck to you guys. We're really pulling for you here.
Yep.
Remember that on Wednesday we will be on location at Amici's Pizza in West Lafayette talking to the Ridgewood Generals on our Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance Agency Extra Point Show. We will also have the play-by-play call of the Ridgewood Generals at home against the Garraway Pirates. That's our Sarshone Ford play-by-play game of the week. Another matchup of two undefeated teams. Garraway going into a very hostile environment. We will see how that one turns out. We'll see if my prediction of the whole Garrett Newsom versus Gabe Tingle thing turns out. Don't get mad at me, Generals fans. I apologize. That's going to do it for this week. For Adam Sawesky, I'm Nick McWilliams. Thanks again for joining us, guys, and we'll see you next time.
This is Big Z Sports, your home for high school football.